Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studio. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. 37 make that, 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I bet you know more. So therefore, I will open up the toll-free phone line once only at the top of the hour here just for you. 1-800-878-7529. If you would like to impart on the show, here's your chance. 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio? That number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You can also join us on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and hit us up on the chat room there. But the bottom line is, we're rocking and rolling. Of course, we are hours away from Tyson Fury about to dismantle Deontay Wilder, about to send him back to Mobile, Alabama, maybe in a wheelchair. He won't be walking when he leaves the ring. What I'm trying to say is, you look for a knockout tonight. Tyson Fury will continue his dominance over Deontay Wilder. In fact, you know, if they were gay, I'll say it again, he'd be arrested for domestic violence after about 8 or 9 rounds. Bottom line is, Deontay Wilder, this is it, baby. Put up or shut up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Once again, open phone lines, 1-800-878-7529, and the guilt-free text line, 415-275-1613. You tune to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but baby, you know that.
From the tree, just like the story of Adam and Eve. Perfect love was all that I was living for.
The sun was turning upside down.
She came near, she was...
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV for Saturday, of course, October 9th. The big heavyweight title fight tonight at the T-Mobile Arena, which was right outside my room last week. Of course, I stayed at the Park MGM down there in Las Vegas. Took in Bruno Mars, and he was amazing. I mean, he was amazing. Without a doubt, he is the king of pop. I kid you not. Anyway, but the bottom line is, the T-Mobile Arena is like right across the street, like within a block of the MGM, both of the MGM properties. So the place will be rocking tonight. Not quite a sellout, I'm told. I wonder why. We'll bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, and ask him why. How come if this fight is such the fight that it is and boxing fans are starved, why is this fight not sold out yet,
Hey, that's a great question. It's a fight that, when it first was made, I was like, well, do we really need to know who's the better man? I mean, in the first two fights, obviously, you know, it was clear that Tyson Fury was a superior fighter. But credit to Deontay Wilder, he's got a great team behind him, good managers, and they forced this third fight. It was not Tyson Fury's priority, as we know. There was a lot of pump faking with Eddie Hearn saying that he had a venue for Joshua and Fury to happen. That didn't happen. And we are here for this third fight. And as of last week, there were plenty of seats left. That's strange because it's being promoted by ESPN and Fox. Those are two pretty big powerhouses. And maybe it's something to do with the pandemic, you know, the economy, people are uncertain. Close to the holidays, people are kind of, you know, this is the time that people are looking at their Christmas shopping. It could be a lot of factors. And also, I think a big factor is the restrictions for the British fight fans to fly over.
Okay, but is Al Haymon, does Al Haymon ever put together a solid 5-star show that makes money and this and that, where everybody's happy at the end of the night, or is he just like doomed to like not complete? I don't know. Is he not fulfilling his prophecy?
Well, you know what? At least on paper, this looks like a pretty nice card. I mean, you have a few people that are undefeated fighting. Obviously, it's a joint effort between Top Rank and PBC. Edgar Belanga is on the card. Nice. You have the Cuban heavyweight fighting the Nigerian heavyweight, both undefeated. It's a decent card, you know. Now, the problem is with today's attention span, the casual fight fan will probably tune in just for the main event. You know, gone are the days of Don King with the stacked four world title fights, Chavez, Trinidad, Terry Norris.
But he used to kill us. You don't see, you didn't cover those fights at ringside. He used to kill us, man. He would start the fights like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they'd still be going to like at 9 o'clock.
He had a big roster back then. Yes.
Oh, everybody. What did Don say to me? He goes, gotta get people paid, Pedro. Gotta get people working. I mean, at 2:30, we'd have these guys fighting and then the main event would come on like at 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And, you know, and then of course, Don would be talking till 1:30 in the morning. By the way, he apparently is in good health. He's just not talking to me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's the gist because everybody tells me they talk to him and that he sounds fine, and yet I call him and he clowns me and doesn't call me back. So, you know, bottom line is.
Well, it's his loss.
I look at it that way as well. You know, I'm going to get into Tommy the Duke Morrison a little bit later, but you talked about Malik's, about the great team he's got together, Deontay Wilder. Is Malik's, would the addition of Malik Scott make that truly a great team?
You know what? They're friends. And, obviously, you know, there's a certain level of trust and comfort. And at least for Wilder's psyche, it's a good thing. I don't know if maybe after the fight, Malik Scott is going to be on the chopping block because, Deontay Wilder's track history is he doesn't know how to handle a loss. He blamed people spiking his water. You know, he threw Mark Breland under the bus. Everyone was to blame but the man in the mirror. So, I guess we'll find out, you know, after the fight. Malik Scott, former heavyweight, a good buddy. He did good business with him. And,
Wait. Time out. What do you mean he did good business with him? What do you mean by that? I mean, come on, there's a little old lady in Iowa. So what is he talking about? Business? What's up?
Yeah, you know what? He was a jobber, you know, to take a turn from pro wrestling. Malik Scott turned into the SD Jones to Deontay Wilder.
Not explaining what I mean. You're not. I mean, come on, man. I guess if you were like a sports genius, you could figure out what you're saying, Mr. PhD. But you're not making it layman-like.
Well, I will stop sugarcoating. In my opinion, and in the eyes of many, Malik Scott threw the fight. When he fought Deontay Wilder, he took a dive.
He took a dive, Greg Louganis in the Olympics.
That's it.
Stone Cold.
He made Greg blush.
Okay. That's why I brought that up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Russian judge.
Pardon me, sir?
Except for the Russian judge. He gave him a 9.5 instead of a perfect 10 for that dive.
Good point. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. I keep going and going and going. But the bottom line is we are featuring the live video broadcast, of course, of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and delayed at twitch.tv. And within a week or so, within a couple of weeks, Veev TV, the new network, Veev TV, will be checking on, picking up Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I understand they will be re-airing it, the video portion, within 24 hours of its production. So if we go live on Sunday here, we go live, or we go delayed Monday on Veev TV. So that is the plan, according to the folks, the Jackamans, both Mr. and Mrs. Jackman, who run Veev TV. So I want to thank them for their courtesy, their professionalism, the fact that they got this camera rocking and rolling to me next week. We've got, you know, my man Raul Valdez is going to be doing his thing as far as putting the camera together. So I got a great team, Socrates. I'm really happy, especially with my PhD. Boxing's PhD, man, nobody can match your knowledge. Just nobody can.
You are the best hype man there is, sir. I appreciate your loyalty. And, The check's in the mail, sir.
Okay. Bottom line is, you know, and I tried to stress this with Hector this morning, and he didn't seem to get it. But he says, you see, he was a master boxer. I wasn't a master boxer. In other words, he would counterpunch you, and everything he did in the ring was calculated. None of my stuff was calculated. I was just violent. You know, I mean, that's just it. I was just violent. I mean, I jabbed and moved. I mean, I boxed. But the bottom line is, I was the one who imposed my will with violence. Hector did it with finesse. And, you know, he said to me that tonight, he said, you know, I can't see this fight going any different than it has in the past as far as, you know, the 18 rounds, of course, in the bank. I think Tyson Fury probably won, what, 16 of the 18? Maybe 15 of the 18, if you want to give maybe Deontay Wilder the benefit of the doubt in one of those rounds. But at the end of the night, the domination was such that I can't see it going the other way. It just doesn't appear that this fight has the, I mean, outside of the one-punch knockout power of Deontay Wilder, and it hasn't been one-punch knockout because Wilder got up twice. So I've taken your best shots, and I've gotten up. What more have you got, Deontay?
1,000%. That's right. That is definitely Deontay Wilder's shot. That, you know, he's got that eraser. But Tyson Fury took it, and that was an out-of-shape, rusty Tyson Fury. The Tyson Fury that showed up in the second fight was obviously a different animal, and he steamrolled Deontay Wilder. Now, I do think that the delay, the postponement, will benefit Wilder. And maybe Tyson Fury didn't train as hard in this fight. You know, he's had a baby, COVID. We don't know, because Tyson Fury, for his skill and his great of a performer that he is,
he's a nut job.
There you go. I was trying to sugarcoat that one, but yeah, he's unstable. You know, and he admits it. He admits it. I mean, but that little bit of craziness and that mean streak is what's scary about him, because didn't he lick Deontay Wilder's neck? He was busting him up when he
like
had
that.
Him bleeding from his ear. He tasted Deontay Wilder's blood. Like, he went back to, you know, to his ancestors of savagery, and, you know, he just annihilated Deontay Wilder. And the funny thing is, during the first go around, they were buddy buddy. They would, I think, took the same private jet together during the promotions. Now they hate each other, and it's been slanderous accusations up until yesterday. There was controversy about gloves with Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder's camp is questioning the legitimacy of the gloves. They have to cut them open. I don't know if you saw a video for that. It's really ugly. And let's see, you know, if finally when they step in the ring, it's a competitive fight.
Well, let's hope Mauricio and the WBC can put some organization to this event. I mean, the bottom line is, it's their show. We'll see what happens. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to discuss bare knuckle boxing on the other side of the break. Why? Because somebody died from it this week. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. The guest, the one, the only, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. More with Sock after the break.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my trend, my coat, my side, threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, I was already, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You sure know your boxing?
Well, all I know is never bet on the white guy.
Except tonight. Tonight, bet on the white guy. You are tuned to Ring. Well, no, am I right or what? That's just the way it is. Tonight, bet on the white guy. Tyson Fury, I think, is a minus 280 a favorite as I speak, and Deontay Wilder is a plus 235 underdog. Good luck on that one. Bottom line is, we're going to switch gears right now, talk about the atrocity that is bare-knuckle boxing. A couple of years ago, a promoter came to me and said to me, you know, Pedro, I want to do this bare-knuckle boxing thing, and you would be the face of it. I said, what do you mean I would be the face of it? He goes, well, you know, your commentary, this and that. He goes, I'd get you a blow-by-blow guy, or you can do the blow-by-blow. He was going to give me my choice to do whatever I wanted on the broadcast. I respectfully declined. And he was blown away by that. He goes, you haven't been in TV in years. Why would you decline an opportunity to come back to TV? I said, because I wouldn't come back in that manner. Not with that genre of boxing or fighting, whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is, I just don't think there's any sport to it. I think it's as brutal as it gets, and people get hurt. And I'm not talking about just breaking their hands. Earlier this week, a young man by the name, and that wasn't young, but he was in the late 30s, Justin Thornton, a veteran of MMA, took his, decided he was going to cross over and do the bare-knuckle boxing thing after going 6-18 as an MMA fighter. In other words, he wasn't very good in the world of MMA. But in the world of bare-knuckle boxing, I believe, he was 0-5 in his last five fights, and guess what? He had been knocked out in the first round each time. So when he was poised, when he was pushed into this fight this 6 weeks ago to engage this other man that was 48 or 49 years old, they knew what time it was. I mean, the guy had been knocked out in the first round five times in a row. What are the chances of six? Pretty significant, right? Well, that's what happened. He got knocked out in the first round, but he didn't get knocked out. He got essentially killed because he got hit so hard that when his face hit the canvas on that knockdown, that it busted up his spinal cord. He had a bruise, his spinal cord started bleeding. The bottom line is, the young man was essentially dead in the ring that night, but of course it took 6 weeks before he passed away this past week at the age, I think, of 38 years old. But at the end of the day, he should have never been fighting. And the matchmaker, the guy that put this card together, he should be arrested for involuntary manslaughter. And that's just the way it is. And guess what? Once you sick up, once you, like, put one of these matchmakers on point and, like, charge him criminally, forget civilly, charge him criminally. That and maybe the promoter as well, that, you know, there's something happened here that shouldn't have happened. In other words, you were putting a man into a ring with a real, real good indication that he was going to get hurt, that it was going to end in a result that you wanted. So therefore, the result that you wanted ended up in his death. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you should have to pay, both criminally and civilly. Now, after that rant, I bring in Boxy's PhD, once again, Socrates Palmer. Do I have any validity there?
Yes, because of how you went at it. You were fair. You basically said that bare knuckle boxing is not your cup of tea, but you didn't attack bare knuckle the sport. You attacked the matchmaking and the mismatch. That's great research by you, as always. I did not know that the deceased fighter was 0-5 in his last five, 0-5, and suffered knockouts in all those defeats. The guy definitely was damaged going in and overmatched. And from what I read, his opponent and him actually have a history. They fought in an MMA bout back in 2013. That also ended in a knockout. So, you know, obviously the guy was a true warrior. He loved to fight.
But he couldn't fight. 18 seconds, he was flat on his face. Listen, you should not, listen, this is a serious, serious business, okay? It says, and people say it's a sport. It's not a sport. It's a business. If it's a sport when you're an amateur. It's a business if you're in it as a professional. And this guy was evidently making some money at this point in time, and somebody needed the other guy to win. So in other words, they brought him in to lose. They knew he was going to lose. I mean, listen, Ray Charles could have picked this. A blind man. I mean, anybody could have picked the other guy to win.
Yeah, definitely a bad job by David Feldman, who's the owner of bare knuckle boxing. And you know what? I'm not going to be a hypocrite on this show. I do watch when they have their pay per views. I've seen, but it's mostly because they've had some pretty big names step in. Paige VanZant. From UFC, fought in it, not too long ago.
Paulie?
Yes, Chop Chop Corley, my boy from the DC area. So it's intriguing because it's different. It's, you know, and the show itself, I believe Shaquille O'Neal even has something to do as an investor in BKFC. Maybe wrong, but I could have sworn I saw something like that. So it has a niche. It's obviously it's not happening at the Garden. It's in, you know, in the sticks in Mississippi and in, you know, very rural areas of the South. Very tragic. And hopefully the family is compensated, you know, as best as they can be. But a horrible job by the matchmakers, and it kind of goes against how they build up their business, is that it's a competitive fight that anyone could win. There aren't the politics involved as in traditional, boxing or MMA, and just a horrible job by, BKFC, even allowing that guy in the ring. Kind of like what we had in Canada with the young lady, the Mexican young lady, who died a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, tragedies happen when you mismatch fights. And, you know, it's very sad.
Well, and somebody said to me, well, what's the mismatch? When you take the New York Yankees and you put them in against a little league team.
Yes. It's a great comparison. Yes. I mean, you know, yeah. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen. Anyway, best to Justin Thornton and his family. Now, back to tonight's fight. Are you going to be looking at this fight through that hole in the wall again, the fence?
Shh. My neighbors are getting wise. Yes, I will.
Your neighbors are getting wise?
Yes, it's starting to get cold, so I don't know how long I'm going to be doing that.
I know. What's the pay-per-view cost here, $100?
Wow, I don't even know. Probably. I'm assuming. I mean, they charged 70 for, like, I think the last Fox pay-per-view, which was, I think, Pacquiao and Ugas. So I'm assuming this has to be about $100. They did, to their credit, you know, for fight fans, it's a pretty stacked card, you know, compared to the other mediocre stuff that normally happens in these pay-per-views. So I do think that the fight fan will get their money's worth. But let's face it, who really orders
Time out. They'll get their fun, but you're not going to pay the $79.99. That's what you're trying to tell me. You're going to watch this through a hole in the fence, or watch this through your shade, through your neighbor's window and that kind of good stuff. But you're advocating spending the $80, but you're not going to spend it.
Listen, I support boxing. I support boxing to the fullest. I don't just abuse and use a credential. I do pay a ticket, you know. But let's say, who really watches a pay-per-view fight by themselves? I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, who watches a Super Bowl by themselves, or, you know, who spends Christmas alone? It doesn't happen. Or Thanksgiving alone, rather. You know, so if you've got some friends, buck up, $10, get 10 guys, you know, and you know, pass the hat around, you'll be okay. I will make it my business to watch this fight. And hopefully my neighbors don't change their shades.
Okay. Bruno Mars kicked ass last week. I mean, that man was unbelievably impressive. And I told you about all the guys I've seen in the past. I'm still like blown away 1 week later.
Yeah, he's a bad boy, man. Next time he's on the East Coast, I'm going to make it my business to catch him. He is, just a multi-talented guy. He could sing, dance.
Right.
I believe he writes his own music.
Plays the guitar. Piano. Yeah. I mean, I can go on. And the bottom line is, he's doing some gigs in Baltimore. I don't know how close you are to Bob, but he's doing some gigs in Baltimore. He's doing a thing with the MGM Hotel, one in Vegas and one in Baltimore, Maryland. So he signed this exclusive residency contract with the MGM where they give him a couple of mil a show.
Okay, it's a 5-hour drive. Maybe I got to check Foxwoods, because Foxwoods, I think, recently is MGM now.
Yeah, wonderful. Anyway, say hello to the wife, kiss the kids. We'll talk soon.
My brother, all the best to you, and everyone enjoy tonight.
All right, real quick before I let you go now, is this a knockout win for Tyson Fury?
I will be shocked if it's not a knockout. Yes, I like Tyson Fury somewhere between the 6th and the 8th round.
There is a prediction of boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, coming to you live on WBC-TV, of course, and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.
Anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight, Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was so sleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
The Great Earthquake, courtesy of HBO or Home Box Office, when it got to start, we're back in late 1970s. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, of course, hours away from the heavyweight title fight, the WBC heavyweight title fight between Tyson Fury, the defending champion, the unbeaten champion, 30-0 with that draw, of course, with Deontay Wilder, and Wilder 42-1. And I'm looking at Wilder's records with 41 knockouts, but come on, man, he's knocked out got a lot of guys like me. I mean, he just has. Outside of Luis Ortiz, come on, Bermaine Stavern, that was Don King's guy. Don King, of course, is famous for getting heavyweights and then letting them get fat. It's called the Don King Syndrome. I tell you, I go back to Tony Tubbs way, way back in the day, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson. Everybody that hangs around Mike Tyson, as far as heavyweight boxers are concerned, eventually they get fat, lazy, and get unmotivated and lose fights. Anyway, Edgar Berlanga, we talked about him earlier, the super middleweight monster, of course. I think he's Puerto Rican now, 17-0, 17 first round knockout, something like that. Take on Marcelo Crosuris. That's going to go down on ESPN2 and Fox Sports 1, according to the boxing schedule. Of course, they're going to build up the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder pay-per-view, with that. Now, I'm going to change gears and go in a 180 degree different direction. You know, this week, let me tell you a little background. Tommy the Duke Morrison was a fantastic amateur fighter. I think he only lost a couple of fights. It was like 6 fights out of almost 100. I kid you not. It was like an incredible record. So he was a phenomenal amateur fighter. Of course, I'm talking about the fighter that eventually became Tommy Gunn later in the Rocky V movie. Of course, he became Tommy Morrison, or Tommy the Duke Morrison, the alleged grandson or great godson or something like that of John the Duke, John Wayne, the Duke, John the Racist. Duke Morrison. The bottom line is John Wayne. That was his real name. I think it was something Morrison. Anyway, bottom line is Tommy Morrison was a solid, solid heavyweight. I mean, he was coming up. He was knocking everybody out. He was exciting to watch. And you say to yourself, whoa, look at Tommy go, man. Tommy's just rocking and rolling. Plus, he was connected. You know, there was connected with Bill Caton, guys like that. They wanted to move this guy in the right direction. He really did. And then, you know, he sort of like didn't want to go with Caton and then he said to himself, he's going to sort of start calling his own shots. And when he started calling his own shots, when he thought he was bigger than he was, that's when he started to fall apart. Of course, all throughout this, he had this lifestyle where he was banging chicks. I mean, I could put it in a whole lot of different other ways. I could say, copulate, like, I don't want to, but the bottom line is, he was banging a lot of chicks, okay? And at the same time, he was taking Flintstone vitamins. Now, supposedly, he was shooting the Flintstone vitamins up with needles. That's what I've read, okay? Of course, that's intravenous drug use. Of course, that brings on the possibility or the potential of contacting HIV. Of course, HIV is the virus that usually ends up with, usually causes AIDS. When I say usually, put that with an asterisk here because I'm not a doctor. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But the bottom line is, Tommy the Duke Morrison wasted away. I mean, you know, you could see his body starting to fall apart as far as his, you know, after his boxing career was over. But in 1995, I was in a Kansas City hotel room after he had got a quick stoppage over Donovan Razor Ruddock in the 5th round. That was Ron Lipton. The referee pulled a quick stop on that one. Hometown guy won. The right guy won. But the bottom line is, I saw Tommy getting stitched up by these doctors. Tony Holden was around, a whole bunch of promoter Tony Holden. Fabulous man, great man, one of the great men in boxing, no doubt about that. But they were all in this room, this penthouse room in Kansas City, and Tommy's getting his eyes stitched up, and the doctor's wearing gloves and this and that, you know, and at that point in time, it was thought that he was already HIV positive because he's allegedly, supposedly ducking or fighting in places where they didn't blood test him. Kansas City. Okay, things like that. In other words, might not have been a coincidence. But then again, he fought Lennox Lewis for the title, of course, and he lost to Lennox Lewis, got destroyed by Lennox Lewis. And from that point forward, he started to fall apart both physically and, in my mind, emotionally, because when he realized that the HIV diagnosis was positive, he went into total denial. I mean, he went into total denial. He continued to have, according to ESPN.com and their story here, he went on to have unprotected sex with his first wife, and he was married to a couple of women after that. And the last wife in which he was married to, who was a big advocate for Tommy the Duke Morrison on the internet, who came after me this week with both hands. And I understand you're defending your man, this and that, but you know, the bottom line is, if he tested positive for HIV doesn't that mean he has HIV? I mean, come on. He took AZT. He took a few other drugs or two, few other experimental drugs at the time, or the diagnosed drugs for that point in time in 1996. The AIDS world was like, you know, you really didn't know whether your liver died when you had AIDS. Eventually, he died. And they're trying to say he died of septic poisoning or something like that. And his autopsy is questionable. And I haven't seen his autopsy, so I really don't know. But the bottom line is, it seemed to be that Tommy Morrison was the king of denial. I mean, he just denied the HIV factor, much like people are denying the COVID thing today. It's like asinine. I just don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, Tommy was good guy to be around. Was he self-centered? Was he an egotist? Yes, but you have to be. I mean, he's a white heavyweight contender, okay, who held the WBO title for a minute, okay? So when he beat George Foreman, that might have been a little shaky decision there. But the bottom line is Tommy Gunn or Tommy Morrison was given the benefit of the doubt in a lot of ways, okay? But at the end of the day, he was a king of denial. He just was. He denied having HIV, which I, from what I've read, he had. His wife, his last wife, is willing to go toe-to-toe and, like, fight you. I mean, almost physically fight you on the Internet, saying that he died of something else. He didn't die of HIV. Well, you know, he died like a skeleton, a relative skeleton, what he was. I mean, he appeared to be a guy that was dying from AIDS, from what the pictures and what people said about this, said about Tommy, when he was going down as far as his health was concerned. Okay. So that's what you have to live by. The fact that he died in denial. And now his wife is going to come after me with both feet and both hands and all that kind of good stuff. And like I can say, it's just my opinion. But having lived in San Francisco and having lived through the AIDS epidemic, having to watch people right around me die from AIDS, this and that, it sure did appear that Tommy was suffering from the effects of HIV and AIDS. That's just what it appeared to me. But I'm not a doctor, but I don't think you need to be a doctor. Once the Nevada State Athletic Commission takes more than one blood test and both blood tests come back and say that you're HIV positive. Isn't that the end of the story right there? Shouldn't that be the end of the story right there? But no, they continued it. I think he went and fought somebody over in, I think he fought Marcus Rhodey over in Japan or something like that, where they were willing to let a guy that was HIV positive fight. But if he wasn't HIV positive, why couldn't he fight in the United States? Come on, I mean, if he wasn't HIV positive, Ms. Morrison, Ms. Trisha Morrison, whatever the hell your name is, okay? If he wasn't HIV positive, why did you have to go to Asia to fight and you couldn't fight in the United States? Listen, he was a white guy, a former white heavyweight, a star in a movie with Sylvester Stallone, Rocky V. I mean, he was a commodity, a priceless commodity, and yet you had to take him overseas to fight? Why did you have to go overseas to fight? Because he tested positive for HIV. End of story. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. But the fact that she came after me so hard this week, I thought I'd have to respond, and I think I responded in kind here, no doubt about that. Now, Edgar Berlanga, this monster, of course, that's going to be on ESPN2 and Fox Sports 1, they're going to try to build up this pay-per-view with Berlanga, which is pretty cool because Berlanga's like, the guy that you want to watch. He's must-see TV. I mean, I kid you not. I mean, some of the guys he's fought thus far and he's knocked out in the first round have been a little bit questionable. In other words, but not of late. He seems to be stepping up competition, and Bob Arum, his promoter, thinks he might be the guy, eventually, that will take on the great Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Saul Canelo Alvarez can defend his once-beaten record. Of course, once beaten with one draw, the one loss to Floyd Mayweather when he was a baby, back when he was greener than guacamole. And, of course, going to take on Caleb Plant, the undefeated lad, I believe, from, what is it, Mobile, from somewhere from the Midwest. Anyway, bottom line is, Caleb was about to get destroyed. And why do I say that? Because he's talked all kinds of smack, and he sort of fired Canelo up. You don't need to fire this guy up. You don't need to motivate him. He will come with a full deck of, with 52 cars. He will come with 50. He will be ready to go. I kid you not. But you piss him off, and then, you know, Canelo tried to say that that Plant called him a mother ducker. In other words, was calling his mother a mother ducker, this and that, or he banged his mother a mother ducker, something like that. In other words, you know, the translation doesn't get... The translation of Spanish gets turned around. Believe me, I know why. That's why I don't speak Spanish. I told you about that one time I tried speaking Spanish. I was signing autographs in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the former La Taqueria. I think it's now Los Tacos or something like that, with Danny Hara owning the place. And I was signing these autographs on a fight weekend in the 90s. And some girl said to me, where are you from? I told her I was American. And American, I meant to say Americana. And anyway, bottom line is American means you're queer. She asked me, yes, are you sure? Repita. Yes, I repeated it not once but twice. I kid you not. So that's why I don't speak any Spanish anymore whatsoever. But anyway, Berlanga is a monster. There's just absolute no doubt about it. What, 17, 18, you know, 18 first round knockouts. They're looking to extend the streak because that type of streak sells tickets. I mean, it just does. People want to tune in. When Mike Tyson was knocking everybody dead, you couldn't wait. Mike Tyson was must-see TV. You couldn't wait. Now, Deontay Wilder, not must-see TV. Why? Because he continued to fight bums. Well, Mike Tyson graduated from bums. Mike Tyson graduated from journeyman fighters and moved up as far as level of competition was concerned. But, you know, Deontay Wilder didn't. I think that has a lot to do with his lack of preparation mentally. First of all, he's coming up short because he didn't come into boxing at the right time. He wasn't born into boxing. It wasn't part of his trait. He played basketball and baseball and football and things like that. Other sports, okay, outside of boxing because, you know, those things are less confrontational and less, you have to commit less to those sports, especially like, you know, come on, baseball. Come here, baseball compared to boxing. Be serious. Anyway, the bottom line is Deontay Wilder was an athlete and a star in other sports, as was Anthony Joshua. And when you get these guys who are stars in other sports or are adept athletes at other sports and you convert them to boxing, it just isn't the same. I think Larry Merchant, the retired HBO godfather, who will be on tomorrow's show, he's going to rock and roll. Larry's going to do his thing tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, the Sunday version. Of course, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, that's 2 p.m. Eastern time. We expect to have hear from the winner of the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight on tomorrow's show. We'll hear from Larry Merchant. He will be here. We'll go across the pond to bring in Kenny Rainford, Sir Kenneth. I call him Sir Kenneth Rainford, our boxing royalty from the UK. We'll bring him in as well. And of course, I think we're going with Clara Burke. Clara Burke's got some good stuff to report out of Florida. So tomorrow, the Sunday show should really rock and roll here. Of course, it's live at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. If you want to check out the audio, it's audio at sportsbyline.com, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, channel 217. I keep going and going and going, but the bottom line is, you know where you're at. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. Tyson Fury, what does he do after wiping out Deontay Wilder tonight? Now, I'm thinking ahead of myself because, you know, you're always thinking the next fight ahead. This is the way boxing is. You're always thinking one fight ahead. And of course, the Anthony Joshua fight, that went up in smoke because Anthony Joshua decided he was going to get greedy. And, he was going to take that last fight with Sky Sports on his contract. See, if I do the last fight with Sky Sports, they don't get a cut of my fight with Tyson Fury. But then again, I'm going to take on Oleg Usyk, a guy that I should be able to beat because he's a cruiserweight, he's 200 pounds, but he's a monster. He's like Charles Manson with boxing gloves. This guy was not to be denied. He just wasn't. I mean, boxing 101, feints, good hand speed, tricks being left-handed, the whole nine yards. Anthony Joshua had no answer for that. And why? Because he was greedy. Why did he fight Oleg Usyk? Because he was greedy. He thought that was an easy mark, a former cruiserweight champion coming up. He was undefeated, would look good on his record and this and that. And then, of course, he could step off and do this big fight with Tyson Fury on the zone. Because we know Tyson Fury is not going to lose Deontay Wilder. He's just not going to. Not going to happen tonight. Not going to. You want to bet your life on it? Never bet your life on anything. But I'm trying to tell you, I think this is a pretty solid bet tonight. Tyson Fury over Deontay Wilder. Inside the distance as well. You are tuned in, so you want to make two bets. There you are. Bet Tyson and bet inside the distance. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Don't forget, the World Boxing Council's interactive website. Check it out, WBCBoxing.com. This is Ring Talk. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
According to KC Confidential, which is like the Kansas City newspaper, Tommy the Duke Morrison, his wife, Trisha Morrison, the last wife that he had, of course, the one that is involved or engrossed with me in this internet battle, the bottom line is she tried to do a Tommy Morrison tour after he died. I guess she was going to try to take his ashes or the remembrance of Tommy Morrison and go on tour. Well, that went up in flames. No surprise there. The bottom line is I want to thank Rob Hernandez for sending me that little clip, but she is, in my opinion, not well. But then again, that's just my opinion. I'm not a doctor. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. One of boxing's better fighters, of course, the once beaten Emmanuel Navarrete, the WBA 126-pound champion, returns against Joette Gonzalez as October 15th on ESPN+. Joette comes in with a once beaten record. Outside of that, Mikey Garcia comes back. I don't want to see Mikey Garcia ever fighting. I'm tired of seeing Mikey Garcia. Mike Garcia against Sandor Martin on DAZN October 16th. Of course, if you haven't got DAZN, you gotta get it, baby. It costs you $20 a month and it's well worth it in my mind. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. We didn't talk any MMA today because Dana White, not my favorite guy. What can I say, Dana? Anytime I don't get to talk about you, it's a good day. At the end of the day, this is your inside looking at the world of boxing. Of course, 37 make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bumps. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV is live Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 270. Peace and lots of respect. Yeah.